This is the Mind and Fitness Podcast. It is Wednesday, August the 7th. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Wanted to first, obviously, give a shout out to the patrons of the show. Patreon is a place for creators. So if you feel like helping out the show, go to patreon.com/ the Mind and Fitness Podcast if you want to throw some support my way and the show's way. So let me give a shout out, first of all, to Christina, Holly, Ross. Ross, I'm going to email you back if you're listening to this. It's been kind of a wild couple of weeks and a weird couple of weeks, and I'll get into that as well. Caroline, Julie, Casey, Alyssa, Brian, Sarah, Adrian, Stan, Kristen, Sarah, Helen, Arnie, Barb, and Kim. So all those people I just listed off make a contribution to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. What's really neat is that you can allocate really any amount that you want. There's predetermined levels, $8, $25, $35, but I think you can also set your own as well. So it's a recurring monthly thing. It says, hey, like, I really appreciate what you're doing for the show. So I just went and did the math on this. This is a little wild. So I've been doing this show for close to 2 years, 82 episodes in. I've actually produced a brand new episode every Wednesday since May of 2018, mid-May of 2018, so there has been roughly somewhere around 68 to 70 brand new original shows benefiting the chronic pain community around the world over the last year and a half or so. So I went and I did the math on the Patreon contributions, which of course the show is always going to be for free. It always has been for free, but if you do choose to throw a few dollars in the cup jar or in the tip jar, it is very much appreciated. So what's interesting is that, but I went and I did this because I have a full-time job and all this kind of stuff, and so this isn't my only gig. And mathematically, it actually breaks out to $8 per episode is what I've earned through Patreon. That's pre-tax, so I imagine post-tax, it's probably, I don't know, $5.50. But a lot goes into these shows, so every dollar obviously counts, every dollar helps. I'm not shilling, but I certainly put a lot of love and passion into this project. So with that being said, it's been a couple of weeks since I've actually talked on the podcast. Last week's episode that aired, which was an interview, I had just edited it and put it out there because the weekend prior, I was gone for 3 nights with some buddies of mine. We took a motorcycle trip up to British Columbia. We did 1,200 or so miles in 3 days, and my butt really, really hurt. But kind of the scary thing that happened during this is we were close to Kelowna, British Columbia, if you're at all familiar with it. And my buddies and I, there were four of us, and we all had in our communication units in our motorcycle helmets so we could all talk to each other and such. But these are long days. I think that Saturday was like 3-4 hours on the bike. Sunday was like 12 or 13 hours on the bike. So, you know, we're like 7 or 8 hours into the Sunday day. And, you know, we would just talk casually or whatever as we're going along. But every once in a while, I would start singing to, you know, lighten the mood and just have some fun and be an idiot and all that kind of stuff. So I'm belting out Lady Gaga, really giving these guys a great performance. I'm singing Shallow. And, you know, I'm off the deep end, watch as I dive in. So I'm singing this for the boys and serenading them, and they're all telling me to shut up. What I didn't hear, though, is that the guy in front, I was third in line, the guy that was in front had yelled black bear because a bear had moseyed out in the road where we're going about 55 miles an hour. And so he swerved and missed it. The guy right in front of me slammed on his brakes, stopped in time. The bear ran out of the road. But I went to brake and my rear tire locked up, or rear brake locked up, no anti-lock brakes. So, I fishtailed at 55, which is terrifying, skidded, clipped him narrowly on the right. I broke a bulb, which has since already been replaced, on the indicator, and then, a crack in the fairing, but nothing really too bad. It was mostly just the jarring of having this moment. And I was texting one of the friends that was on the trip earlier and just saying, like, I cannot believe that I reacted the way that I did and as fast as I did, because, you know, from the moment that I saw the guy in front of me brake and slam on his brakes to the moment that I had to brake, lock up, fishtail, clip him, and come to a stop, the thought that was running through my head was that this thing is skidding and I'm going to fly over on the left-hand side and then a truck's going to hit me on the other side of the road. So I had all these terrible visions, but this was literally, it took a second or a couple of seconds maybe to come to a complete stop. And then I kind of pull over to the side of the road. I'm just so wound up. And I can see in my peripheral vision this black bear is standing next to this tree about to climb it. He's by himself, probably a younger bear, wasn't massive, but big, you know. Bears are big, regardless of the age of them, I think. And my buddies are screaming at me in the communication device, let's keep going, you know, get 100 yards up the road, and then we can pull over and talk about it or whatever. So a little bit of a crazy moment, a little bit of a wild moment. And this was also the trip that convinced me that I was going to be looking for a big adventure touring bike sometime in the next couple of years and replace it. I had looked at a few different ones. BMW is kind of the gold standard. They're so expensive to maintain, so I wasn't really into that. But the Yamaha Super Tenere, I think is how you pronounce it, was one that was towards the top of my list. My friends all think it's completely ugly. Go and Google it, Yamaha Super Tenere. But I went and test drove a Honda Africa Twin also, test rode them on back-to-back days, and I just fell in love with the Super Tenere, and I actually ended up buying a 2016 used Super Tenere with about 20,000 miles on it this past weekend, and I am in love, and I'm going to go ride it, as you hear this, tomorrow, Thursday. My wife's going to pick up the kids from school, so 4 to 8 or 4 to 9 or something like that, I'm going to go find some riding time to have. So motorcycling, a hell of a time, I will tell you. So, if you're near Seattle and you're looking for a badass motorcycle, my FZ1 is now for sale if you're interested. So, if you are, for some reason, near Seattle and you're interested, DM me and we'll work something out. But the concept of this episode today, there's no interview. Next week, there will be an interview. I'm actually interviewing Dr. Mike Murray as you hear this today. I've probably actually already done the interview. But that should be a pretty cool interview. And then there's quite a few coming up, including Dr. Howard Schubiner is on the schedule. So there's a lot that is on the horizon. But the concept of kind of what I wanted to go through today was this quote that supposedly was by Freud. But it's almost impossible to find verification on this because it was so long ago. But the quote, "Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar." And what's interesting is... Dr. Sarno was so fascinated with Freud and a lot of what Freud had to offer. Freud really intellectualized this idea of this conflict between the ego, the id, and the superego, the parent-child, all that kind of stuff. And so it's very fascinating that Sarno was so obsessed with it and that this quote came to my mind. I took a lot of psychology in college, and I remember one of my instructors, Richard Mamelin, actually was his name, was the name of the instructor. He talked about that quote a lot, and in the Freud world, there's a couple different interpretations for it, but mainly Freud was a big believer in symbolism behind dreams and also symbolism behind things that are phallic, sexual, basically. But he also loved to smoke cigars, and my instructor used to always talk about his fascination with the smokers that were in our class. He would call for a break, and people would go on a break, and he always thought that the camaraderie of smokers was really cool. And that was one thing that Freud also talked about. He'd smoke a lot of cigars and the camaraderie behind that. And I bet if the quote was really said by him, I would imagine that somebody at some point in time said, oh, something dumb like, oh, you like to smoke cigars. You know, that cigar looks a lot like a penis. Maybe you're really gay. You know, things like that. You just never know what kind of stuff it is that people have to say. And in the words of Seinfeld, not that there's anything wrong with that. But sometimes a cigar is just a cigar is really Freud's way of saying not everything has to have this symbolism behind it. And I think it's really interesting because I think in chronic pain and in TMS, especially if you are aware of what's going on, meaning like you've read the books and you know that this is a representation of some kind of negative emotions, likely anger or rage, maybe sadness, but some kind of a negative emotion. And so I think some people really get in this trap of labeling identifying all their symptoms now with some kind of symbolism behind them. And so let me give you a good example. 3 weeks ago now, I was in the gym. I did a badass workout. I've talked about this in the podcast. I did a badass workout, tweaked my lower back. I've gone almost 2.5 years without any sort of tweaking of any kind. And athletes, especially strength athletes that hit the iron 5 days a week like I do, are destined to have sore knees or sore elbows or any of this kind of stuff. I just don't really get that, especially in the post TMS life. So, right away when this tweak happened, I just kept marching through as if nothing had happened, and ultimately not letting any sort of healing occur. Because again, there is such a thing as acute pain, and there is such a thing as trauma, and there is such a thing as injuries. And so I just passed it off as nothing. And then I really started digging deep in TMS stuff, you know, taking back out the journal, writing about this, really, you know, I was on such a good roll. There was no issues. And so suddenly my immediate thought and what I jumped to is that this this back pain that I'm having has to be due to some kind of repressed emotions. I'm journaling out. I'm what emotion am I feeling? I'm doing the Stark Reactor. I'm meditating. I'm breathing. I'm doing all this kind of stuff that I should be doing. The back pain's not changing. However, I kept about my normal activities, rigorous and squats and deadlifts and front squats and snatches and cleans and CrossFit and all this kind of stuff. And then did the 4-day trip to Canada, or the three-day trip to Canada. So I was riding a motorcycle in a hunched over position for 3 days, which was, I mean, obviously holding that position, especially what happened with the bear, and going 70 miles an hour for 1200 miles in 3 days is a lot. It's a lot. And so I get back to the gym the following Tuesday. So this is maybe a week and a half after the initial tweak happened. I feel decent, 70%, 80%. And I go and I do really fucking heavy deadlifts, like the heaviest I had done in, you know, weeks or months or whatever, for 5 sets of 5. And immediately felt that tweak again. And my back was killing me for a few days. And I reached out to Jim Prusak, the pain PT. I just called, kind of told him what was going on. You know, and I'm like freaking out about this TMS thing and the normal stuff isn't working. And he had said, it sounds just like acute, you know, an acute pain, an injury, something like that. And I took 6 days off in full from the gym in a row. And magically, the symptoms and the pain lessening each day, just as an injury would heal. And you have to keep in mind that, let's say that I blew out some discs in my back, or I sprained a vertebrae, or I cracked a vertebrae, or something like that. It's going to take some time to fully heal and to feel better. Let's say 3 weeks, 6 weeks, something like that. So taking 6 days off fully from the gym, I've been back now a couple of days and I've worked around it. So I've still been very physical, but I just haven't done the things that hurt, which is mostly any sort of hinging at the hip, basically. And I feel good, and it's continuing to feel better as the days have gone on. So while I jumped to the conclusion that this thing that I did and this back pain that I have is symbolism in TMS, I also have to be able to take a step back and say, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. And sometimes a tweaked back is just a tweaked back. And that's all there is to it. And again, if you're knowledgeable on this TMS stuff and you kind of get really, really deeply involved into it, you can almost get too much in your own head. You start thinking that everything is a symbol for something else, when really it doesn't have to be that way. And I think that's actually can become very counterproductive, because if you can just relax a little, your body is going to be able to start doing the healing. It reminds me of, there's a chiropractor clinic that's not far from my house in Edmonds, Washington, and a suburb of Seattle. And they've started doing a podcast over there. And a lot of it, this is a place that I went during my abyss of pain, my, you know, year and a half long abyss of pain where I thought it was never going to end. And I went and I saw them. They were very physically focused and kept saying that my tissue was bad and, you know, junky tissue and come 2-3 times a week till the end of time, you know, that kind of thing. You know the story. You've gone through all this exact same kind of stuff. But they have a podcast now, and I've listened to a couple of episodes, and she is actually far more into, she probably isn't going to call it the mind-body realm, but she's talking about how she gets more and more surprised every single week, the presentation of pain and the presentation of symptoms that come into her office all the time. And she told this crazy story about having IBS symptoms that were just terrible and ruthless, and they lasted for a long time, weeks and weeks and weeks. And she was just sure something was up with her stomach. Went and got an ultrasound. Ultrasound was clear, and the pain vanished. Just like that. So totally gone. And I thought that was really an amazing story, because though she's very much in the physical realm, and I'm throwing around this idea of maybe asking her to come on the podcast and just talk about the psychogenic, biopsychosocial model of physical pain, because I feel like there could be some additive there, but we'll see. But basically the fact that she was sure she had these terrible IBS symptoms and that something was going on in her stomach and that it was this major issue, and then got imaged and nothing revealed, and suddenly the symptoms completely vanish. Like, how much of a exclamation point does that show us that, you know, we visualize these things on the outside are happening, these terrible things, but they may not even be happening on the inside. And we can always rest our laurels back on all the different studies that are done about sham knee surgeries, herniated discs, and asymptomatic people, and all these kind of things. And we know that even imaging doesn't necessarily back up anything that's really going on in the body. So sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. So maybe one thing to think about over the next few weeks as you're listening to this is, you have a tweak or you get a pain or something like that, and you're digging and trying to find symbolism behind this new symptom that's flared up. Maybe you did do something. And nevertheless, the smallest of tweaks, a little knee tweak, a little ankle tweak, something like that, it's going to go away very quickly. And if it doesn't go away very quickly, then there probably is a psychogenic element to it that's the root cause. And when you clear that up, it should go away. But in my case, tweaking my back with heavy weights and then taking no time away, working out 5 or 6 straight days, not going down in weight, not subbing movements, not changing movement patterns, things like that, and then going on the motorcycle ride and then retweaking it, listening to my body and giving it just a few days to chill out and sleep a little bit more and remove some stressful elements from my life, because working out and training is a lot of fun, but there's inherently stress to it. So giving my body the rest it needs and how critical that is. I just feel like it's such an important thing for all of us to remember. So that is that's something I wanted to touch on. And actually, since I have some time, I might as well jump into the Mind and Fitness Podcast group. And if you're not a part of this group, I encourage you to join it. There's 226 members as I say this. But it's called the Mind and Fitness Podcast, The Leaders of Pain. And every once in a while, I will post something that says, hey, I'm going to be doing some solo shows upcoming. What do you want me to talk about? Or people can make suggestions or they can talk about certain things. I just got a nice shout out from Austin, who told me that he loves the intro music to the podcast. He asked who performed it. And I will tell you, it's actually a buddy of mine who was a rapper slash producer in Northern California. And he made this theme for me 13 years ago for a YouTube show that I was doing. And that was the theme for it. So I resurrected it and brought it back, which is kind of cool. But let's see if anybody's posted anything that they want talked about. Let's see here. There's actually, looks like there's quite a few in here. now that I browse over to it. All right, let's see. Some info on overcoming TMS using meditation. There's a really great episode that I did with Jeremy from several months ago. And actually, I can get Jeremy Whitaker from several months ago. Meditation is his big thing, but it's meditation in a certain way, really being able to absorb all the knowledge. In fact, his actual pain-free moment when everything in his, all his tightness went away, and he had imaging that proved all these problems, and the doctor saying that he had broken vertebrae and all this kind of stuff, broken shoulder, all these kind of things. He was meditating on a deck, and suddenly his awareness went right to the spot of his back that had given him troubles for so many years, and it instantly vanished. And I'm not saying that's going to happen with anybody. I think that's an atypical thing to happen, but that's an episode worth going back and listening to his. So let's see here. Love your podcast. I've listened to 4 or 5 so far. You ask great questions and you deep dive. Not sure if you've covered this, but would love your thoughts on those of us who are recovering from TMS very slowly and that it doesn't mean that we are failing. I know I could use a pep talk myself, and also there are many paths to TMS healing. Maybe talk a little bit about how some of us may need to try different approaches before it finally clicks. Yes, certainly. I mean, ultimately, knowledge is the penicillin of this. That is what Sarno said for the longest time, and it's absolutely true. Something recently that I had thought about, and I posted about this in a TMS group a couple days ago, but here is the homework that I'm going to give you if you're kind of stuck in limbo a little bit. Number one, make a list of any events or things of the past or present that cause stress or tension in any way. Any way, could be anything. Person didn't say hi to you at the mailbox. Your kid said something to you. Your kid's teacher said something to you. It doesn't matter. Don't devalue any of that stuff. Review the list. Stop at each item. Close your eyes and think about how it made you feel. Number 3, feel that feeling in your body. Number 4, toss or delete the list. Repeat this daily. So, I got a lot of questions right after I posted this where people were like, well, how long do I do this? How long is the list going to be? The list is going to be so long. All this. I don't know, guys. 10 minutes? How much free time do you got? 10 minutes to make a list? 5 minutes to think about it and reflect on it? 10 minutes to reflect on it? Whatever. The most important part is step 2 of that, which is reviewing and stopping at each item, closing your eyes, and really feeling it. And so think about it like this. Say that you're having a conversation with somebody. We've all done this. Go to your friend, your family member, your coworker, whatever. Man, John is such an asshole. He He came over to my house. He ate all my food. He ate the cake that was in my fridge that I really wanted. And then he just took off and he left the fridge open. And God, he's such an asshole. The response should be, how does that make you feel? It makes me feel really angry. I feel angry about it. There you go. You've just labeled an emotion. Congratulations, you've just labeled an emotion. You see, the thing is, Dan Buglio says this, we get stuck in story mode a lot. And so we keep reliving these shitty experiences that happen to us, when really what we need to do is, yeah, but how does that make you feel? So you can do this by yourself. You write down this list of events and you stop at all of them and you say, yeah, but how did this make me feel? And there's going to be so much anger that's going to be coming out and thought about while you're doing that, that I think that you're going to start getting some epiphanies very, very quick. That not only is there a lot more anger in your life than you're telling yourself there is, because that's not how the world functions and we're all taught positive vibes only. But I think you also see that anger will dominate the list more than any of these other emotions. So I see a lot of people that say, oh, I'm not an angry person, or angry is not my emotion, so I'm still trying to figure it out. Maybe it's sadness, or maybe it's guilt, or I'm ashamed of things, or things like that. If you write out these stressful or tension parts of your life, which was Sarno's recommendation, and then you stop at all of them and you say, yeah, but how did this make me feel? Anger and rage is going to own that page, I promise. Everybody, thank you so much for your time. I'll be back next week with an interview. Shoot me questions. If you got emails, if you want coaching, eddie@themindandfitnesspodcast.com. That's an option. We can do a coaching session, an introductory session. You want to pick my brain? Let's do it. I'm all for it. But you can also join the Facebook group and feel free to DM me if you got questions as well. This has been the Mind and Fitness Podcast. Thank you so much for your time.